Welcome to Calvary. We're so glad you're here. We hope you had a great week. And I hope you got a chance to get out on a national night out and meet your neighbors. And if perhaps in your neighborhood you didn't have one, maybe next year you might consider that as a possibility of getting to know your neighbors. We certainly did as pastor staff. We had a good time in getting to know our neighbors a little bit. And it's so important that we spend a little time developing relationships. And what a blessing it was for us. Of course, there are going to be more opportunities down the road. And we're trying to provide that for you as a church so that you can learn to build bridges in your community and be a part of that. And so it's going to be an exciting time coming up. Let me ask you a question, though. Have you ever been given something that was more than you expected? I remember several years ago, someone had given me an invitation to test drive a Cadillac, and along with that came two free tickets to a PGA tournament. I loved golf at that time, and I thought, man, this would be great. And I remember going to the dealership, and I didn't test drive anything, just gave me the tickets. I remember getting the tickets, and I had two, and I invited one of my friends, and we made our way to the tournament that Friday morning. I remember driving up there, and when we got there, you know, it was there were cars everywhere. And I remember pulling up to the parking area, and they said, "Oh, you need to go around this way." And so they sent me around, and with my parking pass, you know, that they gave me, and I drove around. I remember they said, "No, when you go up to the next guy, he'll tell you where to go." And we went up to the next guy, and he said, "Go this way." And everyone else was going that way, and I was going this way. I had no idea where I was, you know, why they had me going another route. And I went around, and when I drove up, I was like right up next to the locker room area, that building where the golfers would get ready for their, you know, to go out and play. I remember driving up, and I parked right up next to that building. I remember getting out, and I looked down a couple of cars, and here were two golfers I had seen on television. And I thought, wow, that's more than I expected. I remember walking, and before I'd gone to one other tournament, I remember I had to walk like 2 miles to get to the gate. I remember just walked right over and walked around, got right up next to the gate. And when I got there, I handed the person this pass that I had, and they gave me a lanyard. And in that lanyard, it had on it VIP. And I said, "Wow, that's more than I expected." What do you mean VIP? And the person at the gate said, "Well, I just want to let you know that this ticket is good all day long, and you can go to any concession area for unlimited food or drink." That was more than I expected. I remember going, I thought, I'm going to try this out. And so a friend of mine, and we went to this concession area, which is in underneath this tent, and we got inside there, and man, there was everything you can imagine. We came for coffee, just to set your mind at ease, and we went in, and we got our coffee. But I remember saying, man, I could have any of this that I wanted. Certainly more than I expected. When we walked out, we went around, and a bunch of people were kind of being corralled around. They have ushers to kind of take you where to go. And we were going out, and they said, "Oh, you can go this way." And we went up right next to where the golfers were, and everybody else was over on the other side because they had a VIP pass. You know, it's strange how sometimes you're given something that is a whole lot more than you ever expected. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want you to follow along with me this morning because, to be honest with you, there are a lot of people in our world that are looking for something like that. And they're trying to find it in this life, in this world. You know, they think that if they can have more physical things, that would give them more than they expected. That would give them more than they can imagine. And the fact is that recreational activities and the pleasures and the things of this world never give them more than they expect. In fact, it's always very disappointing. But Peter writes And I want to take you, take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, please, or your app or whatever you use, to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to call your attention to verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. And here's what God says: according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now here's what Peter's saying. Peter's saying that I've given you from God what God has given to every one of us. God has given us everything that we need. We don't need anything else. There's nothing else we need. Notice what he says that pertains to life and to godliness. You see, if you're a believer and you know Jesus Christ, you realize that Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us so that we can know that we have a home in heaven. And boy, that's a blessing to know that, because we've called upon Jesus and because Jesus is our personal Savior, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're going to heaven. And that's a blessing. But here's what Peter's saying. There's a lot more to it than that. In fact, there's more to it than you ever expect. That's what he's saying. You know, the world gives us this temptation that to get us to think we need something more. You know, that if we could just have more of that. And it's kind of like this, okay? We need Jesus to take us to heaven. But we need sex, or we need drugs, or we need popularity, or we need money to bring us satisfaction. This weekend kicked off the Olympics, and many of you know about Michael Phelps, who was the world renowned most gold medalist holder ever, 18 gold medals. Michael Phelps, of course, led the delegation, the Parade of Nations, as they made their way in. And Michael Phelps had all the fame you could possibly have in the world. In 2014, his life began to go down to nothing. In fact, he was at the bottom of his life. It is said that even though he was an 18 gold medal recipient, even though he had done all these things, had all this accomplishment, had all this fame, had all this fortune, he had gotten to the place he contemplated suicide. He had an addiction problem. You see, all of that didn't bring satisfaction. All of that we think of, that if we just had it, would give us more than we expected, actually did the opposite. And what Peter is saying to us today is that we need to realize what we have in Jesus Christ. Now, Christian, I want to ask you a question this morning. What do you expect the Christian life to be? And if you're not a Christian yet, what would you expect the Christian life to be for you, different than what you already have? Jesus responds to that question with this in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is that the temptations to believe that gaining everything in this world will bring us more satisfaction, will bring us more than we ever expect, is only fallacious thinking. It's emptiness. Yet Jesus speaks of a life that is much greater. In fact, the truth of the matter is, life is not in this world. Life is bigger than this world. And the Bible said that a man is foolish and and has deceived himself to believe that if he could gain this whole world, that he's gained it all. And Jesus said, if you could gain the whole world and lose your soul, you've lost it all. Maybe you come here today and you're looking for something more than you expect. You may have gotten that dream job, just the job that you wanted. You know, the kind of job that you just had built your entire life trying to get to. And now you have this dream job and you thought it would be more than you expected, only to find out you're disappointed because there's still that emptiness inside. You may have met that person that you married, that spouse, and you thought that, you know, there it is, that's what I need. That person's going to meet all of my needs. And you confuse the thinking that somehow or another that's going to bring you more than you expect. That person, when you realize that person is just like you, they're human. They can't be God in your life. You may have that dream house, you know, that house that you always wanted, you know, the way it's all set up, just exactly the way you want it. You may spend your entire life building a house only to find that house can't do it either. Those things don't bring us more than we expect. They aren't those things that Jesus tells us about. But Peter is telling us, and I want us to go back and look at this verse again. Peter's telling us where life is. Peter says that life is found in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, today I want us to realize is that those of us, if we're looking for life, we're looking for satisfaction, we're looking for joy, we're looking for peace, we're looking for contentment, all of those things, we find that in the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. To know Him. Peter said that's where it is. It's sort of like, when you look at it, you know, we have the home in heaven provided for us, but something else that happens when we become a child of God. Now that as a child of God, we have for us Jesus Christ with us every day. It's not just the fact that Jesus is good enough to get us to heaven, and we thank God for that, but believer, realize that Jesus Christ is sort of like an internal GPS. Working as the Holy Spirit, and most of us are used to GPSs. I have one on my phone. How many of you guys have a GPS on your phone? You know what I'm talking? Okay, most of you do. Even if you don't use it, you know what I'm talking about, okay? This GPS is pretty awesome. Because what you can do is you can plug it in, and you can find how to get just about anywhere in the world. And so what I can do is if I want to get over there in the corner, I can plug it in and I can put the address and I can do it by boat, by bicycle, by motorcycle, by car, whatever means of transportation I can to get to my destination. You know what's interesting about GPS though? The concern of the GPS is not just for the destination. It's the route on how to get to the destination. Have you ever noticed that when you drive, if you make a wrong turn, your GPS goes nuts? Anyone ever have that happen? Rerouting, because you make the wrong turn. Because the GPS wants to make sure that not only do you get to your destination, but you go the right way. And what Jesus is telling us, and what we get when we become a child of God, is we have the daily presence of God in our life every day, giving us guidance along the difficulties of this life. We have a Savior there. What a blessing. And I don't know if we realize that. I mean, the moment that we trusted Christ as Savior, we probably didn't realize that any of this is going to take place. In fact, here's what happened. When I became a child of God, a believer in Jesus, on October 22nd, 1972, I had no idea all that was going to happen and all that that meant at that point in time. It was much more than I ever expected. And Peter is writing these words to people to understand that if you are a believer, that for you and I, that we are given this new life in Jesus, that he gave you so much more than you ever can even imagine. And he talks about that. And in verse 4, let's look at the next verse. Notice what he says. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So here's what happens. Not only does God give me this home in heaven, he knows he's my internal guide every day. He's with me. He walks with me. He talks with me, as a songwriter says. But I also have within me the divine nature. In other words, God gives me something brand new in my life that my desire is now after Jesus, after the right things, after the holy things. You know, sometimes people say to me something like this, you know, I just can't live the Christian life. And I agree, I can't either. If I tried to work it up myself, if I tried to do it without Jesus in my life, if I tried to do it without God's power, without that divine nature that God gives to me the moment that I become a child of God, there is no way I could do it. But the moment that I accept Jesus Christ as Savior, God empowers me by giving me his divine nature to work in my life. That the things that I used to do, I don't want to do anymore. And the things that I never wanted to do, I now want to do because they're after Jesus Christ. And Peter goes on and he talks about these as God's great gifts to us. And God's great gifts are, number one, is the knowledge of God. Verse 3, we saw that. The knowledge of God is not just about God's attributes and God's characteristics and God's creation and what God did. But the knowledge of God is to know God. That's a gift. To know him. To know him intimately. To know him personally. To know that we can go to God and that we can talk to him and that he will listen. And God works in my heart and God works in my life. That's a gift from God. But then Peter also talks about the promises of God. In verse number 4, he says that there's exceeding precious promises. These promises are so wonderful. There are so many things that God gives to me. I mean, I open up my Bible and I read there. We don't even know how many promises are in the Bible. There are just some right here. I mean, all throughout it's been said there are 365. I happen to believe there are more than that. There are so many that God promises to give to you and me as a child of God. It's not just heaven. It's everything God promises. And as we grow in our walk with him and we begin to grasp who he is, then God begins to work some qualities in my life. And Peter talks about them. And can I call your attention to verse number 5 and what he says? And follow along with me there in 2 Peter 1, verse number 5. And here's what he says. And he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now when I look at all these things, I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot. How in the world can I add these? You know, I don't know if we can, humanly speaking, we can't, but we can allow God to add them in our life as we allow him to work in our life. And he gives a list of qualities. He talked about virtue. That means to find your purpose and do what God has called you to do. Fulfill your purpose. Knowledge is not just any knowledge, but it's the knowledge of God. That I would know God and I would be able to make discerning choices that are right each day. Temperance, of course, is that self-control. And I can't control my flesh and my emotions. I need the God to help me do that. I need God, the Holy Spirit. And as I allow God to work in my life through all of these qualities, God's working them out for His good and for His glory. He goes on, he talks about patience, that steadfastness, that bearing up under pressure. Godliness speaks of the relationship that we have with God and allowing God to work in my life. Brotherly kindness, I think, no doubt about it, that clearly says it, what it needs to say. And then we have charity or love, if you would. In other words, that love that God works in my life that I might care for others. Peter said all of these are the things that are more than I expected. I had no idea. I had no idea that day when I accepted Jesus, God gave me more. I had no idea I would have a God to guide me through the days ahead in my life. I had no idea that I had these things. But when I think about these qualities, how are these qualities developed in my life? It's through one way, through the knowledge of God. Then when I look at these qualities, a lot of people in our world would say, well, you can have those and you don't need Jesus. You just need some self-help things to get there. Best practices is what you need. You need those things in your life. You need to go to a self-help conference or a clinic. That'll help you. You can do it that way. You just need more discipline in your life. Really? Well, Peter says there's only one way, and that's through the knowledge of God, knowing God. How well do you know God? What does your spouse say about those attributes or qualities that we just looked at being in your life? Can I be honest with you? You have them waiting for you. They're there for you. All you have to do is access them. And the more we allow God to work in our life, God begins to work those into who we are as we spend time with God and allow God to do His work in our life. But you know, here's the strange thing. The strange thing is that I met a lot of Christians that are satisfied with just what they expect. All they want is a guaranteed home in heaven and freedom from the guilt of their sin. That's all they want. They don't really want anything more than that. They don't let God work in their life. They're just satisfied right where they are. If all they had was the promise of heaven, that's good enough. That's all they need. They don't want anything else. And God says, oh, you have so much more. There's so much more I want to give you. It's waiting for you. Sort of reminds me of Hetty Green. Let's listen to her story. About a minute video.
The bank in turn sold Peck's place to the wealthiest woman in America, Hetty Green. Green was known as the Witch of Wall Street, not only for her bedraggled black clothes, but for her notoriously miserly ways. Despite a fortune in excess of $200 million, about $3.6 billion in today's currency, she lived like a pauper in cheap boarding houses. She disdained soap and hot water as wasteful luxuries. Paranoid of being poisoned, she cooked all her own food on a portable hot plate, mostly oatmeal. When her young son skinned his knee, she refused to pay for medical treatment. The wound became infected. The leg had to be amputated. Locals waited with great anticipation for the arrival of this infamous dowager.
The life of Hetty Green, you know, her desire to save money blinded her to the unlimited resources that she had. $200 million. Thinking about that, thinking about how Christians sometimes we're blinded to the resources of what God has for us. The world has somehow or another maybe captured our mind to think this is better or these things are better. Oh, you don't have anything in Christ, when the fact is that, no, we have everything in Christ and more. Jesus gives us more than we could ever expect. You see, the truth of the matter is, forgotten resources are forsaken blessings. I mean, when you miss it, you miss it. Just thinking about how quickly our life goes and every day, and just want to remind you of this, that the Christian life is more than just a home in heaven. It's more than that. It's so much more. And while it's going to be a great honor and blessing to be able to spend time in heaven with Jesus forever and all eternity, and I'm so much looking forward to that, but life here, God says, I have some blessings for you here. I may be speaking to someone here this morning that for you, that you have not allowed God to work those blessings in your life. And God says, I want you to get to know me. I want to show you. I want to give you more than you expected. And I believe that's what Peter's trying to tell us here in these verses and throughout the scripture woven. I could have given you so many more things, but I just want to target these because God says, I want to give these to you. And you choose to add them by allowing God's working in your life. You may be here today and you're not a Christian yet. You'd say, boy, I just need some guidance. That's what I need. I need some of those things too, but how can I get those things? It starts with Jesus Christ, knowing Him. Because without Him, those things can never be in our life. We must have Jesus. These spiritual qualities that God works in our life is that which God, the Holy Spirit, works and does His best work. And if you're here today and you've not yet received Jesus, you can. And we can help you with that. There's inside your service program, there's a connection card. And down the second section, there's one saying, I would like more information. And there's one about knowing Christ, being a Christian. Make sure and check it off and drop it in the offering plate at the end of the service. And one of our pastors will get a hold of you. We'll talk to you about that, try to answer your questions. But if you're here today, Christian, is God working in your life? What about these things, these qualities? God says, I want to work these qualities out in your life as you get to know me. There's another promise I want to give you in closing. Look at verse number 10 there. Did you notice what he says? Same passage, he writes it, and here's what he says. He said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You know what he says? He says, if you want to keep from falling away from the Christian life, make a choice to allow God to add these things in your life by getting to know Him. I cannot overemphasize enough how important it is that we spend time with God daily so that God can work these things in our life. Just remember this, forgotten resources are forsaken blessings. Don't miss the blessing. God wants to give you so much more than you can ever expect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,